So occasionally we get the opportunity to celebrate a milestone, and there are some milestones that happen. But if everybody would take a moment and look at Juan Valdez, it's his 80th birthday today. I mean, that's... I thought he was like 60, maybe 55, something like that, kind of, you know, but 80. Looks good on you, Juan. Well done. You can't wait for the next 80, right? Good. Hey, grab your Bibles and let's go on a journey. We've been on this study. We're going to continue to be into it a little bit more, but it is this thing called more. What is the result of more the last 3 weeks? What happens when there's more of God? What happens when there's more of the Bible? What happens when there's more worship? Think about it in this way. If someone does something for you that you couldn't do for yourself, think about that. If somebody does something for you that you just couldn't do for yourself, and for some people, we're so glad for Google, because Google becomes our friend and we can learn to do just about anything. But if you were to Google how to save yourself, you wouldn't find anything. Some of you are going to try it right now just in case. But if somebody does something for you that you couldn't do for yourself, then if it's free... So if you're not a mechanic and somebody and your car's broken and somebody came to your house, fixed your car, put it all back together again and said, it's all yours, no charge, you'd be going, that's pretty crazy, right? Somebody's kind of going, who's the mechanic? Because I got a car right out here. Your car's broken. And it's like, you know, and then your appliance at your house just broke. I just fixed mine. And, you know, it took the whole thing all apart. And I was thinking of you, Stacy. You're amazing. She took her, would you dry her? Wash her apart, yeah. It's still in pieces, but it's okay. But somebody does something for you, it's completely free. And generally the response is, we want to do something nice for them. Somebody came and fixed your car. Well, the least I can do is make you a pie or make you a cake or make you a meal as a way of appreciation, right? That makes some sense. And there's this sense of you get something, you want to give something in return as a way of appreciation. Last week, the more that we had really discovered was the more of worship. And as we did more of worship, we finished with this final point, which was, this, when transformation happens, people become available. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Look at that. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. This, of course, comes after the prophet Isaiah has had this incredible encounter with God and the seraphs, and they're singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And Isaiah recognizes that he's sinful, and in his sinfulness, there's an atonement for sins that has taken place, and there's a cleansing that takes place. And then God's word says, okay, who is going to go for me? And the voice of Isaiah comes back and says, here am I, send me. There's something special, there's something significant when the people of God become available. Let me say this to you this way, when people become available, they serve. And so today is actually this, we're going to continue in this more series, and it's actually, we're going to serve more. How do we learn that? And of course, there's a lot of you that understand this, and what I want to be able to do is, this is a spiritual command for each one of us. I want you to ask yourself this question. Ready? Are you ready? Good. When I die, what mark will I leave? Now, that's not me. You're asking yourself that question. When I die, when you die, what mark will I leave? In other words, at the end of your life, what will you be remembered for? Saying it another way, what will be the sum total of your life? You lived, you died. What are the gaps in there? As I often do memorial services, and I always talk about this dash, and of course I think it's an important place for us to be able to talk about it now. There's a beginning date for a person, that's their birth date. You have no choice in that. There's an end date, that's the date of the person's death, and there's no choice in that. God wills both of those dates. And then generally, no matter where you look, there's a dash that separates those two dates, those two most important dates in a person's life. And the question comes down to, how did you live your dash? What will you be remembered for? Do you know this? We're not just created to take up space. Think about that. The creator of heaven and earth came down and he put you together in your mother's womb, the Bible says, before you were even born, before anybody else even knew you, God knew you. And he created you in this special place for a special reason. Look to your neighbor and tell them that they're special. They're really special. You're really special. That's God's little thumbprint on you, being able to say he believes in you. When we believe and we understand that we're created, we're special, then we begin to think about serving. And when we begin to serve, we begin to serve with love. I do know this, that you will serve what you love. What's important to you, you will end up serving it. When you begin to think about the things that are important to you, you begin to serve. How many of you guys love to have your car really nice? How many of you would like to have a nice car? How many of you like to have a car? How many of you like to have a bicycle? Okay, let's just go there. There's just, you just serve, you know, and you end up, listen, if you like a nice car, you end up keeping it clean, right? Okay, so we'll have that discussion later on. My daughter has and her husband have 5 kids. They don't have a clean car. They got a lot of food in the car off the floor mats, but they don't have a clean car. And so when you begin to think about this, you begin to serve what you love, and you love what you serve. So I'm going to talk to you this morning about in our search for more, there's going to be 4 questions that we're going to discover today. The first question is this: why? Why should we serve more? Why should we serve more? That's a natural question. And here's the reason: because serving demonstrates devotion. Serving demonstrates devotion. It's God's desire that each one of us serve out of a heart of love and devotion. Why? Because at some point, most people have said they love God, right? Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but most people would agree that there's God, and most people would agree that, well, because there's God, I like the idea of loving him. Because let's be honest, not very many people want to be against God. You might not agree so much with what God does, but not very many people want to have God against them. So they want to say, hey, I love God. I have said to my wife now of nearly 37 years, boom, that I love her. Now, those are easy words to say. But devotion says 37 years. There's times that we say, oh God, I love you. And God says, okay, well, if you love me, demonstrate your love for me. How do I do that? It's through devotion. Jesus is our first example. Not a bad first example, right? Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We all have an opportunity to be devoted to a person, to a cause, or to a career. There's a lot of us that are devoted in those ways, and many of those things are great. Many of those things are expected, but we also need to be careful what we become devoted to. You can end up giving all of your time to a career, all of your time to something, your education and whatever those, and you could just do all of those things and at the end of your life go, well, he was terrifically devoted to his career, but his children and his family were a wreck. And God says that's out of character. We're going to be devoted to something, be devoted to something that God puts his stamp of approval on. His says, good job, that's what you should be devoted to. So thinking in terms of what are the things that we can be devoted to, Joshua chapter 24, I love this passage of Scripture, chapter 24, verses 14 and 15 begins with this, now fear the Lord and serve him, God, with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether it's the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Let me give you the context for those words. Joshua, he's going to fight some battles. This is how I fight my battle. Let me think about that. And here he is, he's out fighting the battle, and there's other gods, the Amorites, whose land they're living in. Gods across the river, there's lots of small g gods, lots of things that we can choose to serve and to throw our time and our money and our effort at. And what Joshua has done, he says, well, those things can happen and those things are important. Some of those things actually are. But if they forsake serving the one who created, they're just words. You can't say, I love something or someone without having an action to back it up. And that's exactly what devotion is. Let me ask you a question. Have you thought about your devotion in relationship to who God is and how you love him? Just think about that. Have you thought about what action, what devotion do you have toward God today? Next question is this. We have four questions. One question number two. How? How should we serve more? I know that this is probably one of those questions that we're going to, if you can tell, we're going to start kind of going a little bit deeper. How should we serve more? And here's the response. We use our God-given gifts. We use our God-given gifts. Here's some of the most common things that are heard. And in my notes, I put parentheses, excuses. Most common excuses that are made in church. You ready? I don't have any gifts. Don't have any gifts. That's an excuse. I don't know what to do. And I don't know how to do it. So in other words, you develop what we are affectionately calling a T-Rex attitude. You know what a T-Rex attitude is? I'd love to help you, but I just can't reach you. And that's a T-Rex attitude, which is, here's what God's saying here. If we're going to learn how to serve, we got to use our God-given gifts. We must believe, and this is the byline that I've been using throughout this whole series, that we can do more with God than we can do on our own. So if we believe God is big enough to create the heaven and earth, and if God's big enough to bring us to a place of salvation, if God's big enough to do all of these things, then we also must believe that God has given us God-given talents. Every single one of you has received God-given talents. Amen. Now, some of you are going, well, I don't know what they are. That's okay. God doesn't expect you right now to go, oh, I know exactly what it is and da-da-da-da. We've got wonderfully gifted people that lead you in worship, and they're using their God-given talents. But there's more to that. Do you know that church is a place where we learn how to find and express our God-given talents? Did you know that? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, Paul, the apostle, writing to the church at Ephesus, giving them instruction on what their job as disciples were to do. It is he, God, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Here's the reason, verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Think of this, think of church as a training ground. It's not that you have to have this expectation to come in and know it all, but it's an expectation to come in and go, it's important. I believe God's given us gifts. I believe God's given me gifts. I believe God's given you gifts. This is a training ground, not for you to come in and go, well, I know exactly what it is. I know how to do it. I know. This is not what church is. Church is a training ground for you to come. You come, you learn, you begin to serve. Nothing says you have to know what or how to do anything. It's just a value that you have to say, I believe God wants me to do something. Then the result of this, Paul says, and the body is built up. The body is built up, is encouraged. That's the value of the training ground. Then we go on, and 1 Peter says this, chapter 4. Each one is person. Each person should use whatever gift he or she has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And so serving God in this way actually increases our ability to serve and to care for other people. Now, this is in direct contradiction to what our culture teaches us today. What does our culture teach us today? It's all about, right? It's all about me. I still think, you know, I would like to invent a UE stick instead of a selfie stick. I don't know that it would ever catch on because everybody seems to be enthralled with themselves, but I would just love to take a picture of all you guys and just go, here's my UE stick, and I just took a picture of you. And I'm going to post you on social media, and this is what you look like instead of, hey, this is what I look like, you know? And what we do is we have a culture that says it's all about me, but then you have this counterculture that God says, no, it's all about everybody else. God is calling all of us to use what we have to serve his church. So I just ask you a really simple question. How are you doing in this area? We had a couple of people that called in sick today. They were serving in an area. Called in sick today. And after I berated them and told them that they were big babies, and no, I didn't do that. But we need people to serve. Other people to serve. Not just say, well, okay, you go do that. Or that's what they do. I don't do anything. No, God gave you something to do. You're just not doing it. So how do we do that? Well, we have to find and discover what that looks like. So this brings us to the third question, which is where? Where should we serve more? Well, if you're going to look at this, you're going to go, well, in the nursery. No, here's what it is. Here's the answer. Look for obvious needs. We're called to look around at the obvious needs that are present. Think about it in those terms. We come in, Allison and I come in early on Sunday mornings, and you know, you guys aren't here, and we're looking around, we're seeing obvious needs. The need for a trash can to get dumped, the need for some trash on the floor to get picked up, the need for. We're looking for obvious needs so that, you know, our motivation is so that when you get here, you're like going, oh, this is a place that I'm proud of to be able to come to and to worship God here. When we look for obvious needs, it's not for what I get out of it, it's really what I'm able to give to God. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. How do I look to the interests of others? Stop looking only at yourself. I'm going to say that again. If you're going to look to the interest of other people, stop just looking at yourself. Don't just fulfill your needs. Look for the obvious needs of someone else. And in this way, you'll begin to fulfill what God's plan is for you. So some are going to say, well, I don't know what those obvious needs are. That's a natural response. I just don't know, so I won't do because I don't know. I'm not going to go through an exhaustive list of every person and every ministry and every need that there is. But as you become aware and attuned, you begin to look around. And when you do become aware, when you begin to look around, you begin to see some, hey, I noticed that someone was missing. Hey, I noticed that this could happen. Hey, I noticed this was full. Hey, I noticed that this needs to be, and you begin to do that. I noticed that that person wasn't here. There's a guy, you know, I'm not going to tell you who he is, but somebody says, hey, well, my gift is shoveling snow. And he's like, man, you know what? That's my gift. And I go, well, thank you for your gift of shoveling snow, sir. But we live in San Diego. That's nearly pizza for everybody. It's close. That's the rule. Cell phones go off in church, it's pizza for everybody. That's an obvious need. I have a need for pizza. Well, to be able to say, well, my obvious need is shoveling snow, but I live in an area where it never snows, then you've got to go, well, what's the next thing? There's so many places in which we can serve and so many places in which we can do, but if you don't see it, then you keep looking and you keep trying to say, well, it's still a value, it's still important because I love God. And because I love God, I want to serve God. I don't just say those words with my mouth. I actually want to have an action. Remember this, we must believe that we can do more with God than we can do on our own. So I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Okay, well, God, help me. God, show me. Okay, God can do that. I don't know what the obvious needs are. God, help me see the obvious needs. Okay, God can do that. We can do more with God than we can do on our own. Finally, the four. I'm so glad you like numbers, because then you know when I'm getting down towards the end. The next one is this: when. So I've done the four most important questions: what, when, where, how, why. When should we serve more? When do we get to do this daily? It's a real simple thing. Daily, God wants to engage with you daily. God wants to visit with you daily. God wants to lead you daily. God desires that we worship Him daily. God desires that we're involved and engaged with Him daily. Daily, daily, daily. Every single day we have an opportunity to serve God. We have an opportunity to worship God. We have an opportunity to be with God every single day. The crazy thing is sometimes we just go, well, you know, I'll see you next week, God. And here's what Paul says to the Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. We're all part of a great big family. And yeah, it's fleshed out here in this church, but ultimately the bigger part of the family is you belong to the family of God. And the big picture of the family of God says, doesn't matter where you go, doesn't matter the label of the church, doesn't matter what you do, there is still God, creator of heaven and earth, that desires that you daily interact with Him and serve Him and serve Him only. You have different gifts according to the grace that God has gifted you with. Not everybody has to do what you see as the most obvious things, which is teaching, praying, or playing, or singing. You go, oh, well, those are the only four areas. No. There's so many other areas in which God says, this is how we begin to do this. Here's our daily motivation. I love being able to be motivated daily. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 23 and 24, this is our daily motivation. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Is working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. It's hard when you say I want to start helping, I want to start doing, and then you start doing, and then somebody doesn't recognize you, and you don't get the appropriate, what you feel is the thanks or the gratitude for what you do, and then sometimes you go, well, they didn't even recognize, they didn't even pay attention, and so you know what am I doing this for? And what Paul is saying this to the church in Colossae, hey, it didn't matter what you do. Just make sure that your motivation is doing it for God. Just do it for God. And it doesn't matter what you do, just do it for God. And as you do things for God, you're not looking for men's applause, because chances are we're going to forget. Chances are I'm so grateful for my wife, because she reminds me, hey, did you send to so-and-so? Did you say thank you to so-and-so? And I'm like, oh, I'm such a man. No. I don't know about you guys, but men don't have boxes of cards that we're like, oh, I should get a card and I should send it to Juan. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Juan. So this is my card to you. Happy birthday. You're welcome. And so there's times that we forget, but it's that whole thing of even in church, even in ways that we can serve, it's not about you. And although you're a part of the body and you're being built up, it's about God and our service to God and our devotion to Him. And what God wants us to do is actually get in the game. The Super Bowl Sunday is next week, and you know, however those teams got there, doesn't matter. Still bitter. Get over it. And you know, it's like, man, you know, there's times that I'm like, yeah, I could have done that. I could have hit that guy before the guy got there, and I could have hit him out of bounds and not had a penalty called again. I could have done that. And you go through all these different things and say, man, I could do that. And it's easy to do that on the sidelines, to say I could do those things. We tend to do that with things that garner great applause from men. Go to a concert, man, I could be that guy. Go to a play, I could be that lead role. I could do those things. How many of you have read the Bible? Everybody say yes. Just humor me for a moment. Of course I've read the Bible. And you get to these stories where they're hard stories. Job is a hard story. Jonah is a hard story. Moses, in a lot of ways, is a hard story. David is a hard story. I mean, you could just kind of go through this whole, the Apostle Paul is a hard story. You begin to go through all of those things. And how many of you go, man, I could write a song being locked up in prison. Uh-oh. That's hard. And God says, I want you to get in the game. Why? Because we must believe that we can do more with God than we can do on our own. Simple. I just don't know how to do it. God never says, well, you got to figure it out. Once you get it figured out, then you come to me and I'll put you in a place. All God is saying to me and to you is you be willing to serve. You be willing to respond to His love for us and just say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know, but Lord, I want to do something because I love you. I love you. So here's this. If we want God's blessing, how many of you want God's blessing? Of course, right? We must serve. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for bringing me to a place. And now I recognize. So, why do we have messages like this? First of all, because this is a command of God. This is God's word for us. It's a command of God that we're to get in the game, that we're to do something. It's a command of God that everyone has received God-given gifts and graces and abilities. It's a command of God that we, the church, are supposed to open doors in such a way as to give you opportunities to learn how to serve, learn how to do things. That's what we're to be able to do, not for you to just watch us do it. So here's the application. Since we all have gifts, and we all have abilities, what are you doing with them? So, two other points. Why am I saying this? Because the church needs your help. The church needs your help. If you don't, who will? And then, that it's a spiritual command. So, some of you are serving in areas. Some of you are serving in multiple areas. Think of people that are involved in so many different areas. And it's like, man, thank you for your areas of service. Some of you are like, I'm not sure how to do this. All we're asking for you is to say, yes, God. I just want to learn. I just want to learn. I know it's important. I just want to learn. So today, we're actually going to give you an opportunity to grow. And in a minute, we're going to open up these doors, and there's just going to be a couple tables out there with some clipboards. You don't have to be a sound engineer to say, I want to help serve in the sound and tech ministry. But you kind of go, hey, that's kind of cool. I could learn. You don't have to be a person that goes, hey, I'm like this super crazy children's ministry, man, I got it going on. You don't have to do that. You just have to say, I like kids. And we'll begin, you know, one of the phrases that I love to use is this: you can't steer a parked car. Some of you are going to think about that for a minute. You can't steer a parked car. You're just going to, you know, you can yank on the steering wheel all you want. It will never change direction until you get it going. So get it going, get it moving. So we're going to open up the doors in just a minute here. And I'm just going to ask you, would you go out? Would you just consider, look through those things? There's all kinds of different ministries. There's work days that are coming up. You go, I could do something at a work day. I don't know how to do anything else, but I got hands and I got feet and I could do something. We could do those kinds of things. Kids ministry, women's ministry, men's ministry, tech ministry, music and worship ministry. There's just... And then there's even a page that says other. That's super cool. Because you're like going, oh, well, mine wasn't on there, so I'm free. Other. So I want to close with this. Same passage that we started with. And God's word says this: whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah says back to the God, here am I. Send me. So if you would stand, I'm going to pray for you. And then it'll be hard for you to get out. It'll be really obvious if you try to get out the other door. Lord, I pray that you would help us today as we've discovered your word and as we've discovered your will, that there's a place for us to do more, something more, that we can do more with you than we can do on our own. And we're going to ask God for your blessing. Lord, as we consider just a way to get involved in some way, whatever that way is, Lord, I pray that there would be just a receptive heart, a learner's heart, in a way that we can just honor you in the whole process. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your word today. And I thank you for each person here. I pray your blessing on these folks and these families. In Jesus' name, amen. Right out these doors, there's some tables set up, and there's some ladies that will help you get more information. Thank you. God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday.